Welcome to Free Time with the Catman,
with your host,
Cat Ishikawa.
On July 21st, 1994, the Firesign Theater performed on Pier 62 in Seattle. There was so much noise during the show from passing boats, cars, planes, and helicopters that at one point the lads decided the show was taking place in a transportation museum. Let's enter that museum now. Which motor will we be taking?
It's your karma.
Sweat it out, Mr. Young Guy.
Open this door.
I'll be back, food.
How am I to be not insane while suffering terrific torment of a radio prison? Oh, Mickey-san, my topless flower of Toiko Delight, oh baby, where are you now? Do you take a fast tube train to International Atomic Occupation of Bandit Police Headquarters to a weeping, implore, arrogant lieutenant of Bradshaw for my immediate withdrawal from this dangerous exposition? Oh, don't know how much a tough guy detective can now take in of it be. Oh, keeping it cool, young guy. A new character enter.
Yes, young guy find himself trapped in a radio prison under Nicoban Neranese restaurant on the number one street. And, oh, what worse, a barrel full of deadly Ajinomoto set to go off at end of meal. Now, new character enter. Oh, who is they? Tomorrow, all same time revealed on next speedy chapter of Young Guy, Murder Detective! Okay, now everybody unrelax with warmest or personal or ease the scary part of show, Puzzle Box.
Young guy. Oh,
he picked that up. Hi, Mr. Announcer. Hi, kids.
Okay, young guy, you look ready for first Retta from Fanatic Young Arista.
Oh, you bet. Mickey, where Retta from?
Hey, this letter postmark deep space. Oh. Little Bobby Bunny, 15-year-old, say got tough riddle question for you.
A letter from a rabbit? I'm going to take a letter down to hindquarters for psychoanalysis.
Oh, stand back, Bradshaw. Rodonodo programmed for female defense.
Oh, Mickey, what the little Bobby want to know?
Bobby asked Mr. Question he first read carved into Great War of Mars. Why does a Pudge bird lay his egg in air?
Sounds like a trick to me, Fudge.
Oh, yes, an old trick puzzle. So happens we finally answer it tomorrow next show.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Now, everybody go away. Okay, come back and listen to a new adventure called Dream Monster Egg Fool Young Guy.
Boy, this exciting episode star, of course, me, Hideo Gumpa Jr., and my dangerous pals as...
How are you going to get out of here?
You take a speedy cruiser boat?
You take a river of mountain skis?
You going to turn on a siren?
Stop torturing me! I'm Young Guy, Motor Detective!
Feeling.
Now, baby, don't be crying. Now I'm out and wishing I had a drink. Where my butler, Roto Noto?
Oh, here, boss. It was a hurdy-gurdy hour. Have a special Muda fluid gimlet.
Oh, thank you.
See, What happened at our prison today?
Oh, Lieutenant Bradshaw, you know, of Motor Official Cops. He's sniffing up our riddle secret, I think.
Oh, young guy, like little tears, my terrific feelings for it, like little flowers.
Oh, yes.
What is it we about to be doing, boss? We are taking motorcycle? We taking Adam bus? Ooh. We stepping in a speedy cruiser boat? Ooh. Do we have a timer to take a fast train?
Don't be torturing me! You see, in a radio prison, they wash a brain of this unfortunate. Hanging up in a strong seagull wind now to dry. But a maiden, upon taking it into her warm kitchen, finds owner not there.
Pretty words, but come to conclusion, beloved.
Terrible decision-making factor absent from brain.
No! Implications many, all terrible. Which motor are we about to be riding in?
Not to be torturing me.
Boss!
New character enter. Announcing a Lieutenant Bradshaw, Atomic Occupational Forces.
Oh, young guy. Now we only take familiar ride to radio prison.
Okay, guy. This is putting every little piece of the puzzle in now. It was you, young guy, who is snooping in official business. Did the trick of radio prison. Is it so funny now? Do you see?
What?
Now, I know where dream monsters come from. What is glutamoto horror of Toiko besides total fiendish quality of you brain? They all you. Glutamoto dumb everything. This is not bad enough. Yes, there is also Gorgonzola the cheese monster.
Oh!
Taking it easy, man. Let's be keeping cool and casual. How am I to be Adam Monster, Lieutenant Bradshaw, when... just to keep it still for a moment. You name Bradshaw.
Yeah.
What Brad stand for?
Bernard.
Oh, my gosh. You, George Bernard Shaw, famous author and literary smart guy.
Oh, young guy, you figured all out.
I see, boss. Bradshaw say many time he on the side of right.
That's right.
That because he writer.
In obvious pun lies subtle secret rodonodo. Writer responsible for all problems he creates.
Wait a minute, Fooge. You're not going to go pinning this monster rap on me. Take this.
Rotonoto, you knock them both out with champagne gong.
I wait a long time for this. No more nice guy. You go with me now, baby. I got a true ticket. To Forbidden City!
Oh, even President not getting there!
Oh! Next week, this show have a new name! Rotonoto! Atomic Gumshoe! And no Buddhist writers either! Okay, come on, baby! We got road to travel!
Oh, Roto! You some atomic guy!
Do you mind if I put this antenna up on yonder peak?
That's our sacred mountain.
This is our sacred antenna. It's shaped like a cross, made out of aluminum. Got any aluminum?
We've still got some corn left.
Hey, corn, now we can make whiskey.
We've been waiting hundreds of years for this.
We just invented a Tom Collins.
Here, Injun, you want some fire water?
No. We were warned by our elders not to drink anything that would make us weak or silly.
Put it in their well.
That's not a well. It's the eye of the holy serpent mound on which you're standing.
It's a butte.
No, it's a mound.
And right purty, too. Can you move it?
But why?
Railroad's coming through. Right now.
Hey, what we stopping for?
We in Goshen yet?
Can't go no further. This here's engine territory.
The little guy.
And across him all, we flung one shining steel rail.
Rockefeller.
Rock.
Rockefeller,
one shining steel rail from sea to mighty sea, from coast to mighty coast, from Bangor all the way to mighty Maine.
I came to flat on my back on top of a boxcar pulling out of the city yards. The night was as dark as coal dust. Hey, that is coal dust. The moon was as fat and orange as a blood-fed tick. Hey, not bad. I wonder if Carl Sandburg got his start this way. Let's see, we pulled out onto the main line and began to pick up speed like a Benny Muncher with a bankroll. I watched the pastel tenement houses flash by like lonely Iowa French fries, stuck in the ground like the broken teeth of a dog yard fence.
The broken teeth of a dog yard fence?
Hey.
That stinks!
Hey, this is a stiff on top.
Hey, who's down there?
This red get Longfellow down
here. Hey, like on my ankle.
Hey,
no, I'm gonna fall. Hey! Get away from me! You bums, get away from me! Who the hell are you? Where are we going?
This train is bound for glory!
I hate folk songs.
Bound for glory!
Hey, listen
to the fuzzy tale!
Hey, Lighthouse! Who this gay?
Yeah, who's a gay cat?
I ain't no pansy. I'm a dick.
Hey, that right. I recognize them, or he the town clown.
A fly mug?
A bull.
Yeah. Look who's finally coming over. Our favorite poodle, Nick Danger. Doggy.
Yeah, that's me. What are you going to do about it?
Hey, too bad, Nick. We all thought you beat the Joe.
What do you mean?
I remember me, Nick. I'm Wino Red.
Yeah.
You booked me 87 times for D&D in 1 week.
Yeah, it was a precinct record.
Hey, pass the gossip. Give him a lump,
huh?
Red.
You guys are dead. You were pancaked by a garbage truck at the corner of DeLorean and Avocado yesterday.
That's right, Nick.
That crap hauler didn't know them cans was home sweet home to us.
It was the best cans we ever had.
Then this is the train you don't get off of.
Hey, don't have no theft with no proposition.
A-hole.
Hey, we're stopping. I'm getting off.
No,
he never stopped before. This must be something special. Pick up.
Let go of me.
Hey, look at that hoist.
Wow.
Must be a mile long.
TV and a bar.
Hey, that's gotta be Van Pederatzi.
No. That John D. Double Bubble.
Out of my way, you filthy bum.
Hey, say he cack 5 minutes ago. Watching a low-cut number named Slumber at Rococo's Club Zero.
Slumber?
A pair of zeros. Golly.
Wait a minute. Let me see that manifest. A, B, D, D. Hey, there's no danger next to Double Bubble.
Next to Double Bubble? That's what my wife used to say. Is there any champagne?
Hey, that penguin be right. Hey, wait a minute. Danger's alive. He trying to buzz a free ride.
Get that jungle buzzing out of here.
Give him the bum's rush.
Gently, boys. Point me toward the Club Zero.
Oh!
This reminds me of a story. A party of dogs was taking a flight in a balloon when it started to lose height rapidly.
Ah, yes.
They quickly decided that they would all crash to death unless some way could be found to lessen the weight. Suddenly, an English bulldog stood up, shouted, "God save the Queen," and jumped overboard. Not to be undone. A German Alsatian lifted one paw in a salute, said Deutschland über alles, and threw himself over the side.
Deutschland über alles!
A French poodle was the next to go, with a last proud cry of Vive la France!
Vive la France!
After several moments of anxious thought, a large American Doberman stood up, shouted, "Remember the Alamo," at the top of his voice, and threw a small Mexican chihuahua over the side.
Hey, you guys. Just at the age when you're looking for an interesting and exciting career in the military,
Get into the sky where they can't find you, higher than you've ever been before, behind the border, as a proud member of the free Mexican Air Force.
Yes, skimming low out of border canyons and across below sea level salt flats, you'll be jockeying the big birds, B-25s, flying uncounted tons of contraband into these United States.
Yes, spreading Mexico's natural resources is a really fine job for any young man of military age. So take off with guys like me in the free Mexican Air Force.
You can't show those loops.
Oh, we can now. We spent all morning tuning the Amazination system to deflect them with some degree of tridimensionality.
You mean you have playback circuits for...
Circus? You should have seen the circus I used to have. Playing up and down the Rocky Mountains, the first Zepp carnival in the world, always arrived disguised as a thunderstorm. Motion is hair. People have no...
No, I meant circuits.
I know what you meant, amigo. Certainly I have the necessary equipment. You've been away a long time. It's all Astro surplus now. Everybody's got the stuff. But only we have the perfect image of Planet X.
Well, we seem to be the only people who are interested.
In a manner of speaking. Oh, you could go down to New City, but it's all news all the time down there. Anything you might have to say would be just as important as anything else. The news, shortstop.
Brazilian bees sighted off coast. Man returns from outer space. Robots win 13-7. Ho ho, who cares?
Well, they care, don't they?
Only for each other, amigo. No, only free floaters like myself are entertained by entertainment of this quality.
But this is not entertainment. This is real.
Amigo, it's all entertainment. You went on location, took sophisticated equipment, and made pretty pictures of what you saw. That's entertainment. Trouble is, the government thinks it'll confuse people. Kill the birds, Manny.
Right you are, Mr. Motion. Bang, bang.
What?
Ah, thought you were outdoors, did you not, amigo? Dim out the sun, Manny. Such is the patented miracle of Amazination, realer than life itself. And now, voila, this is my living room, moving west at a reasonable speed and at a safe altitude somewhere over...
Grand Canyon Heights.
This is an aircraft?
I told you I used to run a Zepp show. This is the Zepp. Her name is Gilda. She's triple-hulled and runs on sun power and, like most women, is entirely self-contained. Thus, I travel in comfort and move hardly at all. I can, of course, simulate virtually any environment I choose, inside or outside. Manny?
Bumpa-gumpa, boss.
Let us continue with the show, if you please.
Now, just a minute.
What?
All I've had since I woke up is one show after another. Not to mention being knocked out and kidnapped by these robots.
What are you calling it, dummy?
The loops are public property. Somebody in the space department is going to want to know where they are. And besides, some of them are pretty damn personal.
Amigo, the tattered remnants of government were sending you to a remote retirement camp and would have put those marvelous pictures in atomic storage underneath the Pacific Ocean. Proof of life on Planet X, I assure you, is better left with me. Only a select audience of trusted friends will see these images. Copies will be sold to the few who can afford to collect such rarities.
Put this blimp down and let me off.
Blimp! Do you think this is a blimp? Manny!
Call him Tiki, Mr. M!
Show our amigo what Miss Gilda can do. Play Planet X.
Here goes, boss!
1937, Lakehurst, New Jersey. The Naval Gas Bag Landing Field.
And I can see the great ship Hindenburg now. The majestic bulk hovering over the pylon. There's still a hint of rain in the air here in New Jersey. The wind seems to be coming up a bit there. There's the ground crew, like ants, running out to man the ropes. The huge ship is now only about 100 feet overhead. I can see tiny people waving through the window. Wait a minute! My God! The ship is heeling over to the left. A big gust of wind. There's a spark there, I think. And it rights itself, and it's come around. There we go. The last of the ropes is being secured, and here come the passengers. And only a few of them are goose-stepping. There's Happy Chandler. There's Judge Crater. Well, I guess that's about it from here.
Yes. Yes, that news... The news may have kept America wired to their seats, but... But it was the art of radio that really glued them to their set.
And immediately to my right, I think you can see the enormous old-fashioned Zeppelin just settling slowly into a docking position between these two historic landmarks. Pulses of high energy are flickering and crawling all over the surface of the Zepp, and weird figures have appeared in the air around it. It's very close now. I can see a figure in the window.
Hey, down
it's only
there.
About 20 feet above me.
Hold this
he,
rope.
He's dropping down a rope.
Hold on.
I think I have to hold on.
Look out
Walter,
below.
Walter.
Oh, get a hold of that, friends. What an unbelievable scene. You just would not believe it. The Zepp appears to be exploding. But wait a minute. No, it's as if a sandstorm was billowing around it. Now, wait a minute, let me see here. Got to get my binoculars straight. And in the midst, there's a spaceman there. You see him there? An American spaceman just struggling with an alien being.
Oh.
Faces, they look like they're naked. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. Now it's floating free. And the two figures tumbling over and over in a desperate conflict. Wait a minute. Now back to Monument Valley.
Jack, the Zepp has torn loose from its mooring here in the wake of that great electrical battle, and it's floating off now past the Eiffel Tower, very near the Stonehenge Beltway.
He's got my dream loops. There's a lot of personal, intimate things in
Mark,
those things.
Mark, you're the man who went to sleep for your country so many years ago.
Those tapes were never meant to be shown.
Can you explain what you're doing here in
Panoramaland? I mean, look at the aliens, for example. Look at that one humping the entire state building. They do that all the time.
Mark, can you tell us what happened when you returned to Earth?
Am I speaking to everyone?
That's right, Mark.
Well, it's about time. It's a far, far better thing I'm doing now.
Control. System. On.
What?
You are.
In.
Black. Hole.
Again. You are.
A-OK.
Mark.
11:58.
It is a strange war that doesn't do things to languages.
And
one of the interesting byproducts of World War II is a series of expressions that appeared in England. For instance, Americans will undoubtedly soon be endeavoring to fit scran, choker, and wizard into their own speech. In World War II, a rookie is no longer a rookie. He is an irk. Nothing is ever bad.
He
it
is irked.
He is irked, right.
That's it all that's left of him after the bombshell. All I found was his irk, which is, you know, which is, right? Which is the neck without an end.
With a little metal on it.
A little metal on it, right?
It's a knife nothing, without a handle.
Knife without a handle and his neck without an end. And a nerk.
A knife
and narks are guys who go around doing that now, and it's legal.
That's right. Nothing is ever bad. It is ropey.
Ropey?
Right. And a ropey job is likely as not to be a blonde who proved uncollaborative.
Uncollaborative. Do you know what collaboration means? I keep assuming a lot of people don't know these words.
Yes.
That's when you get your hair shaved for being a collaborator, baby. That means you and the...
This was 1942.
The schnacker.
Sophia Loren got lots of mileage out of making movies like that.
Anything that turns out badly...
Collaboration.
Yeah.
Vittorio De Sica. Right.
You know, I've noticed...
Sophia Loren.
Lorenzo Bicycle.
Right. Right.
I've noticed that you hold your breath when you smoke a normal cigarette. Anything that turns out badly, whether
how
it be...
How do you know this is a normal cigarette?
That's a normal cigarette. How do you like the taste, Phil?
It's wonderful. And it doesn't upset my stomach.
A soldier is never fed up to the teeth. He's browned off or brassed off. When army things are under control, they're buttoned up. Otherwise, they may be cheesed.
Cheese.
That's where hard cheese comes from. Hard cheese. Terry
hard
Thomas
cheese.
Expression.
Right, that man's. There's a cryogenics concern in Glendale now called Solid Jackson.
Really?
That's right.
Sleeping is
dizzy. Is that true?
That's true.
Sleeping
that's right next to that big pond of fish.
Listen,
glinting in the moonlight.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
I see. No, DC.
The two stories sort of tend to corroborate each other.
They collaborate.
Or collaborate.
Right. Right. The schnacker told
oh,
them to.
Oh, you said it.
No, I didn't.
All
I said
right.
The schnacker.
Anyway, wait a minute. I don't think it's schnacker. I think we got another word for this. Yeah, the word this time is, let's see, stupor. That was
no,
last
not the
week.
Stupor.
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
Stupor is what you get in if you're stupid.
Yeah, the Agnew.
The Agnew?
The Agnew.
The Agnew
yeah,
is the name?
Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
Number two.
So don't mention the little, you know, the little
Agnew.
Now, here's some language that'll probably tickle the fancy of a lot of girls out there in the audience. This is the language that came from the lips of the pert young wrens, as the blue uniform girls of the Women's Royal Naval Service are called. You probably remember that, Annalie. When a wren
they
says...
They cut their hair to make wigs for enemy agents. You know.
That's right. When a wren says,
I mustn't be adrift too late, or else the jaunty will put me in the rattle and the bloke will give me a bottle. She means, I must return from leave on time, or the master-at-arms will bring me before the commanding officer for a lecture.
For electron, actually. Right.
When Jenny the Wren is fed up with the world, she is chukka. And when she grumbles, she's guilty of dripping. Sleeping is zizzing, whether it's on the job or in the hammock.
Are you zizzing or dripping, dear?
Out of your damn
business. I'm all cheesed off.
To the Wren, her sailor boyfriend is a killick, or if he's a soldier, he's a pongo.
Pongo! Oh, you're dripping again.
Crushers are male or female petty officers.
Oh, well, take a look at this.
This chicken last week.
I was cheesed off, so I jumped at her.
When a sweetheart or companion in the Navy is an oppo.
Oh, yeah.
An oppo.
Oppo, oppo, oppo.
When a Wren, killick, or battleship is dressed up, she, he, or it is tiddly. And when a sailor goes on leave, he goes up the line. I'm going up the line with a dripping broad. Get me some tiddly. A parachute is not a parachute, but a brolly. The rear gunner's turret is the dustbin. A coastal command plane is a kipper kite. The bomb-dropping mechanism is a Mickey Mouse.
No, and Mickey Moused.
Oh, Mickey Mist. And the automatic pilot is George.
Hi, George.
A fighter pilot climbs into the pulpit of his plane and pulls the greenhouse.
Does what?
Cockpit.
Does what? Climbs,
he climbs into the
which?
pulpit of his plane.
Ready for the flash, Pastor?
Yeah, all right. And pulls the greenhouse cockpit cover over him when he's off to hunt a solid lump of blitz. He's off
dripping
to hunt
blitz.
A solid lump of blitz.
The copper kite gave me some dripping blitz.
Which
no,
is enemy,
right.
enemy
that's
formation.
That's not right, is it?
Waiting in the air for a Junker Schmidt to appear, he snakes about or plays pussy in the clouds. Then he screams downhill and sends the German into the drink with a quickie. Oh. Can you believe it?
You couldn't put those words together on the air without being lewd.
Each month, a
so
few outstanding pilots polish their buttons and go to Buckingham Palace to collect a gong. No flyer spares his contempt for the penguins, the non-flying administrative officers in the RAF. Everything is a type in the RAF, and all flyers take views. If a girl has good lines, she may be a pucka type. But a Heinkel pilot who shoots too soon or runs for home is definitely a poor type or just a pleep. A pilot takes an outside view of Berlin when the air over the Nazi capital is full of flak and crickets. German night fighters, but when a weekend with no operations and a Saturday night party has been laid on, the view is definitely wizard.
Wizard, and it takes wizard. A wizard.
Ice, ha, right. Cheese. Ha, cheese. Ha, cheese.
She's a pucker type.
Yeah, right.
Good-o.
Pongo. Pongo.
Drip, 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 drip. What a war. What a war.
Ha, cheese. Ha, cheese.
Cheese. Far round.
Far round. Far round.
Shakespeare is represented as a sort of divine sponge.
Let's have,
all mankind could be packed into a box a half mile on each side.
Hot cheese!
Hot cheese! Hot cheese! Right on, Boogies at 5 o'clock, Boogies at 5 o'clock, and a rebroadcast of this show, friends, at 6.
You're tiddly.
The Firesign Theater presents Victimary at Sea, somewhere in the South Pacific, 1943.
Two.
Captain!
Captain, fighter planes at 12 o'clock, sir.
Don't worry, bosun. It's only 11:30. Give me my binoculars. By God, they're Japanese.
The planes?
No, my binoculars. Now, don't worry, men. The planes are flying farther and farther away. Bye!
Oh, Captain, turn your binoculars around.
Thank you, Henderson. I got you right. They're getting closer and closer. Dive!
Dive,
dive, dive.
Dive,
dive, dive.
That's an order. Dive!
Dive, dive. Dive.
Okay. Captain, Captain, begging your permission, sir.
Beg away.
The men have asked me to tell you, this isn't a submarine with me.
Firesign Theater, Sundays on Radio Free Oz at the Magic Mushroom, from 9 o'clock until middle.
Plane, on the plane, they were playing both Coming and Going as part of the comedy track, which is this peculiarly dismal feature of TWA on their stereo. 8 channels for your enjoyment.
They did play,
5 different kinds of music.
W.C. Fields.
Yes. Well, there's this dead man talking to you over, and you sit with your plastic things in your ears and watch the ground disappear, and you're listening to a dead man on your ear set.
Yucky.
Yes, a little Charlie. Little woodpecker snack box.
The laugh tracks are louder than
the laugh tracks. Yeah, you can hear the how it's been...
Modulated, I believe, is the word.
Anyway, there's these two people. I don't know who they are, but there's one of these little guys who talks like this, you know, and a woman who talks just like this, too, only higher. But I won't do that. And they're going on with this long... It's like, it's horrible. I mean, it's just horrible. I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. Why, last night your toothbrush was so dirty I washed your socks out. What? You're leaving me? You're leaving me? You think your knees look so much like potato chips that my eyes look like sauces? Ha, ha, ha. And the studio audience breaks up. And it was just, it was just freaky, man.
I missed
8
that.
Billion miles an hour across the United Snakes.
It was sure pretty over...
Over the Rockies.
Oh.
Well,
after
back,
the movie, we watched this dreadful non-movie called Topaz, which was made by the CIA.
Under the guise of Alfred Hitchcock.
Alfred Hitchcock is an assumed name.
He's a front.
Right.
He's a rubber mask.
Oh, it wasn't even a movie. I mean, it would be complimentary to call it a movie. And then up front, about 12 seats up, is playing on this postage stamp size screen hanging above us, Downhill Racer, which is all very flashy and red and white and blue and yellow and bright sunlight, and people going, and crowds applauding and all of that, right, with Downhill Racer. It was very splashy. And meanwhile, in our ears was this gray dialogue going on about, did you think the Russians would take Cuba, or is this some secret service you've been on? My eye is putting out here because I'm going to kill you now. Boom! Falls down. Oh, it's a terrible movie.
It was awful.
It was pretty bad.
Anyway, but down below were the Rocky Mountains, which is where
Lake Erie was covered with ice and had big cracks in it.
It was the country, and you realize nobody lives between there and here. Nobody lives between there and there.
The two-thirds of the country is entirely uninhabited, folks, except underground. There are various places for the army.
We didn't see any people there.
And the Dead Sheep Administration.
The Dead Sheep Administration,
right. Lots of mountains and lakes and no people.
On the 747, when we were flying over, we got talking with a lot of people. And we began to find out some interesting things. Like one guy, kid, came walking by and said, "Hey, I've got to ask you, aren't you George Matetsky of You Bet Your Half Life?" And
yeah,
I said, "Yeah." And this cat had seen us at Columbia. And when I was walking out of Bob Grossman's door on Crosby Street, two chicks drove by in a car and said, "Hey, Dougie at Columbia, want to come up to the loft and smoke some dope?" Right?
New York, man.
They were smoking marijuana in the first class.
Incidentally, gentlemen, as
a first class, they were smoking marijuana in the first class of the plane.
Who's in the first class?
What would your name be?
Mr. Prince, Mr. Clark, and Mr. Klein.
When you played from the first class.
Yeah, that's right.
Good to be back.
My, it's good to see you, boys.
Ain't seen you for 10 days, you know that.
I know.
Till just hardly this very, very moment.
We had the most wonderful flight back on the 747.
Tell it, would you tell it? Tell us about it, would you?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked.
You know, I found that New York had no effect upon my naval passage either. Really?
No, there's no bad,
no bad,
smog or anything there.
Would you hand me that nose, please?
Yeah, I
can. That extra nose.
Would you like this nose scraper? Caught the full Albert Grossman. It's very expensive.
Really? How many Grossmans was that?
Oh, that was 300 bushels of Grossmans. Just to buy a nickel stamp to give to General Westmoreland to deliver across town.
But nothing beat the taxi cab back here. Which cost us, how much was the final reckoning? 1,200 francs?
1,200 old francs. All of them in the back.
Right, crinkled. All talking like this and saying, pay me my money now.
Right, with pictures of Courbet and Molière both sides.
Yeah, right, Le Courbet, Molière the Crow.
Right.
It's a wonderful, wonderful time.
And at the same time, the big ship, we sat on the big ship for 4 hours before it took off. For 4 hours on the big... Look who's here! Hey, how are you doing? Far out.
I'll tell you,
far east.
We sat in the TWA Saarinen building waiting to get on the 747, right?
And
4 o'clock is when we got there, ready to go, and they said, no, it won't go till 4:30, then 4:45, then 5, then 5:15, and finally announced...
There's going to be a 20-minute delay, folks, because we are missing one reel of the film for mature audiences.
There's two films on the 747. One, we saw Downhill Racer for general audiences.
There are two on the 727.
Oh, now that
yes,
mature in general?
Downhill Racer up front.
Right.
Up front. Uphill Racer
much less up front
than
Topaz, which is only for mature audiences.
Topaz. Yeah.
And that's how they put us on the plane.
Well, the mature audience holding the green ticket... Right.
line up
line
over
up
here.
On that side.
Right. And we, yes, man.
Did you have some
Topaz was made by machine, you know, by mature CIA agents.
Yes, right.
Hey, we work that out entirely.
Can you imagine flying in a plane and watching people being shot by Lugers and things like that?
We watched
Downhill Racer, and it was all the way.
Downhill.
I was sitting in an area where if I looked directly to my left, I could see, like, very distorted, the Topaz movie, right? And then, looking straight ahead, I could see Downhill Racer. So what I was doing was I kept switching the channels. We found that the best thing was listening to Debussy's La Mer and watching the skiing.
Yes.
See, there's no improvement on that big plane at all. All of these conveniences were on our little plane.
Right.
Two movies, Debussy's La Mer.
You didn't have Groucho Marx walking up and
Groucho
down
Marx
the plane.
Groucho Marx was on the plane.
He was on the plane walking up and down the aisle, smoking a cigar. Going to the bathroom. I thought it was just too much, man.
Yeah.
A lot.
Groucho Marx.
Did you say?
We said hello to him, and he turned out to be just as grouchy as we always thought.
Phil went up to him and said, "How do you do?" I didn't say a word. I was nonplussed, man. I just couldn't talk. Phil went up and being the brave one and said, "How do you do, Mr. Marx? Your picture was on our album." And he went,
"Fire Sign Theater."
He said, "We're the Fire Sign Theater." Phil said, "He's trying to shake his hand, so Groucho has to change the cigar hand, right? And he says, "I just want you to know that we put you on our album because we like you very much.
We love you
because we're very because we love you."
And he said, "I love me too.
I love me too." That's all he said and left away. The plane disappeared and we were enlightened.
Right.
Well, Groucho, the beatification of Peter and Phil.
Yeah.
Gentlemen.
Here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Communication.
I don't
think there's anything wrong with
you, Dana. You tell me what you're going to say.
Oh, I was going to say that you should go ahead.
Oh, no.
Let him.
The boy. You can go ahead.
Would
you
please?
You say what you're going to say.
It struck
me.
There it was.
That those big planes look like. Remember in the 1800s, we used to laugh at the lithograph of the big ship flying in the sky?
You and I didn't laugh in the 1800s, Phil. We thought it was pretty serious
when we saw them.
Right.
We knew
those pipes of belladonna and hot chocolate.
Right.
Oh.
Well, that's what it was like. It was like being in a big ship in the sky.
350 people, man.
Yeah.
And dig this. The first pilot comes on and goes, "Believe me, this is true.
This is true."
Welcome aboard that 747. And we'd like all of you, please.
He has him trouble with the system. Yeah. A lot of feedback.
Welcome. Yes. Can we'd like you to please take, if the masks drop, please put the masks over your nose and breathe deeply, right? Hi, this is your pilot. Hey, we're not going to get off the ground for another hour and a half.
off the pilot. Boom! What was that in the corner? I don't know.
And the reason is there's a strike. I don't know why there's a strike,
he
said.
I don't know why there's a strike.
He said, I don't know. I'm here.
And everybody else is going, well, we know.
This morning when I got up in my little glass house, a plane flew over my house, 50 feet above it, man.
Flew over mine, 250 feet.
Yeah,
above
whatever.
It
wasn't no helicopter either, with Sergeant Tackle in it looking down and saying, "I'm giving you now the bathing pool report. There are three naked people over there in the back of the pool, and there's a boy inside washing his hands in the lavatory in there." This is going over KLAC or something like that. Private line, it's called.
I thought he was going to land in the ballpark.
Yeah, man, he was really close on my house, and if I'd had my glasses, I'd have gotten his number. But that's called buzzing, isn't it? When you come down real low, it's called
illegal
buzzing.
Illegal buzzing.
Illegal buzzing, man.
The FAA will have to hear about
it. I had a buzz on my own, man. I didn't need him coming over, you know, freaking me out. I'd had my groat cakes. I'd dropped my pills. I popped a couple behind the eyeballs. I was ready, man. I was ready for Sunday morning, you know. I was sitting there cool in my waterbed. And I just smoked a couple of Benedictine cigarettes. And, you know, I was cool. I was cool, you know.
Did you call?
I recognize that one. That was a Falk Wolf 11K long-range heavy bomber. It was.
You're right. Now look out! Yeah.
I don't see why we should talk about this either. Let's talk about something entirely pleasant. Off all of those trips.
Don't even talk about Hugh Hefner and the 119 associates flying over our house.
You can
big
talk
baby.
About.
Talk about Big Baby. Sure.
Who's Big Baby? Yeah.
Yeah.
Big
Bunny.
Well, David and I and David Grimm and a couple people were sitting in David Grimm's house.
No, you were down at your place, right? You were down with Tiny below.
Huddled in the bomb shelter.
Right. And all of a sudden, man, we looked...
BLM, bomb.
We looked out the window, baby, and we saw this huge, what I thought was a commercial airliner, take a bank I have never seen. Didn't burn it, just took it. Just this huge bank right in front of the house with another plane. Looked like it was fueling it beneath it. And I thought it was going to run right into the house. I was scared. And David came up after that happened. David Osmond came up and said he called the federal... What'd you do?
I called the Federal Aviation Agency and talked to the duty officer. And the duty officer duly...
who was in the can.
Right.
Doing his duty.
Duly or dutifully took my my complaint and explained to me that the larger of the two airplanes was a DC-9 and that the smaller of the two was a Learjet. And then I took that information upstairs along with the interesting fact that the larger plane was owned by Hugh Hefner.
Okay, so we're sitting down with this information, and all of a sudden, I swear to God, over the treetops, like 300 feet above our feet, because we came two planes. They looked like fighter bombers from El Toro, wingtip to wingtip, right over our house, man. So fast, so scary, I thought, well, it's a show of power. Nixon's decided the revolution starting in Isla Vista that's going to keep the town down. It's cool. And I was really so angry, I went down and I called the Federal Aviation Administration. I called them like this.
Hello, this is Peter Bergman of 2011 Fellowship Parkway. Over.
The guy said, oh, hello, this is Duty Officer Ron Buckmaster. You calling from your car? I said,
this is car radio.
I talked like this while asking him who those planes belong to. Over. And he told me that one belonged to Hugh Hefner and that the other was a Learjet and he didn't have the number on the Learjet. And I said,
I'd sure like to get that information. Over. Could you call me?
So he called me back. I was at David's house by then, so I didn't talk over my car radio anymore. And he told me that, yes, the Learjet had taken off from Burbank Airport, and that the Learjet was owned by a group called 119 Associates. I said, how did you find out? He said, oh, I have my ways. I called the airport. He was really interested, right? He was no integrated, bendable community worker. He was a brave man. So I said, well, that's very interesting, and I'm going to talk about it. And he called me back again, and he said, I just wanted you to know that the people who owned it are called 119 Associates because the serial number of the Learjet is 119. And I said, well, listen, man, how low is it can somebody legally fly over my house?
Which is, we might add, 720 feet above sea level.
He said 1,000 feet. I said, wait a minute. No matter how big or how fast you're going, you can legally go anywhere in the United States at 1,000 feet. He said, yep. I said, 1,000 feet above real terrain or sea level? He said, well, it's supposed to be above real terrain. And I said, well, can a plane change its altitude from 100 feet to 700 feet in half a mile? Because that's how quickly the land goes up where I live. And he said, no, that'd be impossible. I said, that's right. He was 300 feet over my head, about a football field, going 300 miles an hour, wingtip to wingtip, with a Learjet that turned out to be taking his picture. Hefner's plane had a picture being taken against the lights of Los Angeles, because now it's up for lease.
That's right.
That's why our valley was endangered. And I just want Mr. Weiss and Mr. Epstein, who own the Learjet, there in Washington, D.C.
Mr. 119.
Yeah, Mr. 119. Right. And Mr. Hugh Hefner, to stop flying their big plane to my house, or I'm going to get a rifle and some black pajamas and some literature.
Guillermo Torres, how like Apollinaire, the full moon is the color of the heart, fumes of our lives through rooms of poppies, oh, so sweet interiors. John Hartman.
What's that from?
John Hartman has a book of poetry called Taxi, 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 which is the names before each poem is the name of the taxi driver in whose cab he wrote the poem.
Uh-huh.
Ernest Caiafa. The importance of being earnest, earning an honest wage, waging an honest war, warring an hornet's nest, nesting an earnest ware is honestly too much contention of vehicular traffic. Still we move through it, past street populace face to face, anxious of snipers, fearful men, earnestly dishonest, honestly unearnest, so we go on getting on up and down sideways.
That sounds like something a taxi driver would say. I'll tell you about the taxi driver.
Tell them about the taxi drivers.
Hundreds of taxi drivers. We went everywhere in taxis. You went everywhere in subways, so you had a completely different set of experiences, I'm sure.
Well, I traveled around.
We were up on the streets, man. And we had the weirdest collection. But they're all weird. They're all, none of them speak English. They're all names like one guy, his name was German Vasquez or something like that. Strange names like that, you know, Muhammad Watanabe.
I had Fadiodysius Makanapanopoulos once, and he was reading a Greek newspaper in the front.
They don't know nothing, you know. They don't know the city at all. All they know is that 81st comes after 82nd.
That's right.
That's all they know, and it goes, you know, Park and Lex and Madison and like that. They know that. But you ask them, you say to one of them, can you take me to Brooklyn? And the guy, seriously, like, he'll... you know, he don't know. He don't know. Where,
listen,
he don't even know where that is, you know?
Brooklyn,
he don't know.
Listen, I never go across. What, I should go across the East River for you?
Yeah.
What can I make in the, across the East River?
One guy, now believe me.
I'm going to stay here between 42nd Street and 59th Street, listen.
This guy told me, he says, I could get you there, but I wouldn't know how to get back. Yeah, well, we didn't use him, needless to say. The last guy we had, the last taxi driver, was really like in a nutshell, like what the whole trip was all about, you know. This guy's name was Morris Wiener. Wiener. Which was amazing due to the fact that we've been talking about how God spelled backwards is dog and how Jesus spelled backwards is sausage. So this guy's name is Morris Wiener, right?
He must be one of the chosen people.
Yeah, man, he's one of the cats. So
he's one of the dogs.
He's one of these cats, right? He watches, first thing he says to us, he says, you ever watch Beat the Comedian? Or some show like that. I don't remember the exact name. I'm just like riffing off what he was saying, you know. It's Beat the Comedian? He says, you know, with Maury Amsterdam and where the comedians fight each other, the fighting comedians? Fighting Chinese comedians, you know, like Maury Amsterdam and Fujiko Watanabe? And we say, no. And he says, well, then he proceeds to go through all those routines, like it's like the Johnny Carson show, only we're driving in this cab, and he's weaving from lane to lane, almost getting us killed right through the Bronx, and he don't know where we're going. He don't know where Kennedy Airport is. He keeps saying, where are we? Where are we? Did you see what that sign says?
Blind.
And then he's also telling us all these jokes, like, this guy, he, you know, and it's all that kind of jokes, and it's all just like Maury Amsterdam, and we almost got killed, and it was terrible.
Oh, boy.
And then the other thing was the car driver, excuse me for just going on like this.
Was like that, going to the airport.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He didn't know where the airport was either.
So we follow the sign.
We got to say, no, it's the sign over there. Oh, no, that's the sign. It goes that way. And he went that
way. We had
way.
Two hippie cab drivers.
Yeah?
Yes.
I met a girl cab driver.
Oh, a girl?
I've heard yes. they have them.
And her name is Hack Woman.
Oh, that's right.
Hack Woman.
Her name is Kate. Yeah.
Oh, right, she's from Berkeley, right?
Yeah, she's from Berkeley, right.
Right.
And yeah. She likes to drive cabs at night.
Peter and Phil are
yeah, well, listen, a girl from anywhere likes to drive cabs at night. She's a very strange type girl, I say.
Yeah.
You know?
If you carry, one of these cab drivers, for instance, told us, he says, if you carry a knife over 3 feet long, you know, that's not a concealed weapon. I said, I should think not, I says. I should think so. It goes right to your pants, right? People think it's your, you know. No, I'm sorry, miss, I'm sorry, but you know what I mean. The gentleman will know what I mean.
Listen, I get it. I won't. I have to resist doing my cab driver thing. I have this great thing rule book, but I got to do it when the other guys are back because they've never heard it.
Look, the really other thing was the cab driver that I rode alone. Annalie wasn't with me. She was crying back in the apartment.
I was sick.
It was New York. New York was sort of a bummer for
the
us.
The New York sickness.
Yes. And this guy, we rode in dead silence for many blocks as the meter registered chink, chink, every more 15 senses. And finally, he kind of looked back at me and he said, you got a pencil? And I happened to have a pencil down in the lining of my jacket that I originally bought to go back to Bowdoin in 1960, but which I was wearing on this trip too and feeling good about it, I might add. And stuck in the lining was indeed this pencil, a nice Everhard Faber. And I handed it to him.
The
and
blunt,
he said, he pen. Said, thanks. Do you need this? And I said, no, man, keep it. That's exactly what I said. I said, no, man, keep it. And he said, gee, thanks, just like that. Gee, thanks. Then we rode in silence for another couple of blocks, and then he finally said, I'm going to commit suicide.
Right.
Oh, boy.
And then he told me all about how terrible it was. And I said, why don't you leave New York? He says, I can't. It's part of me. And the orchestra struck up, and he sang, New York is part of me. From the pancreas to... And the carotid artery, a name that always fascinated me.
The carotid artery?
All right, I'm running.
We took the Staten Island Ferry, which is still a nickel each way, has the only thing in New York that hasn't increased in price or shortened in duration.
Like the sidewalks.
Oh, boy.
You lose 5 minutes walking down blocks.
Oh, it's very strange there. There's occasionally when a ray of sun strikes between two mighty towers and cleaves your brow, you know, you realize that up there, up above the 102nd story, there life begins, you know. Birds are flying around, flying into buildings, and there are dead rats lying on the street.
Yes.
Gee.
Right. There are worms coming out of the faucets in Harlem.
I know there is not room for the rats to leave New York. You've heard the thing about the sinking ship, right? They cannot get in the Hudson tubes.
The freeways say no hitchhikers or rats.
That's right. No.
Police launch number 7 slipped silently through the black, oily waters of the East River. Every one of her crew of 11 not actually engaged in navigating the craft was watching at the rails, service revolvers drawn. It was almost 1 o'clock in the morning, and the blackness was the more impenetrable because of the murky fog that was rolling in from the bay. River pirates had just raided a tramp steamer, the El Viejo, up from Brazil, filled with crude rubber. They had systematically robbed 4 other rubber-filled crafts along the Brooklyn shore during the last 3 or 4 nights. And the Marine Police were not surprised when word of this last theft came to them over the police radio system.
What was the color of Peter Bergman's motorbike?
Motorcycle, and what kind of a motorcycle?
What was it?
What was it? It was a... yellow! Was it yellow?
It was a yellow Ariel.
It was an Ariel Square 4, a yellow Ariel Square 4.
Oh, my goodness.
And I found myself once after one of the shows, because we would all gather right late at night, 5 nights a week in Los Angeles.
Early in the morning, to be perfectly honest.
Get off the air at 2 o'clock, and I had this very fast motorcycle, and I one day got on the Hollywood Freeway after a show, and I started to ride, and I was riding too fast, and the police put the sign, you know, the lights on me. And I lay down on the bike, and I cranked it up, and I raced the police on the 101, and I beat them.
Oh, you were that kind of guy.
No, I'd never done that before. Anything like that in my life? No, sorry. And when I came off the Western on-ramp, I raced all the way from Barham to Western at about 110, 120 miles an hour. I said, this is the end. This is not you. Someone is inside your body. I think it's this machine.
We're lucky we're in Santa Monica, or you know, the LAPD would be knocking on the door. They still have a warrant out.
Are you the guy in that aerial that made a fool of me?
Because he's got his XM radio on his police vehicle.
I do right now. You know, I know if they're coming. Right, the satellite can say fuzz at 47. That's the channel nobody knows about on XM.
The hauntingly handsome Bradshaw.
That's me.
His proud aquiline features reflected in the salt and pepper waves of his carefully vaseline hat.
Yep.
Turns like a cat dancer on a polished heel and sends 4 slugs into the junk's thin hull.
Oh. No, stop!
Did you say 3 or 4?
Let's see, it says 4.
Okay.
Oh, danger, you dim bulb! That's the shot that'll drown us!
We're sinking! We haven't got a chance! These waters are teeming with schools of killer anchovies! Those eyes!
I think we better split, Al!
She's right, old boy. Let's be off. Sorry, Van P, but there ain't room in the police launch for 3.
Stop him!
He's crazy as a hootloon. Let me handle this, baby. Hey, Bradshaw, have you noticed we're all sinking fast? Looks like you've written yourself into Davy Jones' corner.
The little monkey's right, Al. We can't get off the boat.
Don't listen to him, baby. He's trying to drive you insane.
But Al, he's right.
I said shut up!
He shot herself.
He's going to kill us all!
You forgot. I'm running this radio show now, see?
Yeah.
If I want to take launch, all I gotta do is make my mouth go like this.
He's spitting on me. He's gone!
It worked!
We're all going to die! Oh, no. I can't remember the last time this happened to me!
Shut up, you histrionic hyena!
No, no,
you can
can hear the anchovies salivating. I'm going to be eaten by my own business. Oh, mother of God, is this the end of Little Rocky? No, no, I'm getting out of here, me. I've got a bottle of Wino Brothers in my pocket. I'll guzzle it, turn the empty bottle upside down, and walk to shore on the bottom of the ocean, breathing the air trapped inside while you're all trapped here. It's perfect. But just enough for one. So long, suckers.
Something wrong with that plan. Anyway, we're sinking. Slumber, think. What? Come on, for the first time in your life, what? Is there a lifeboat on this ship?
Look, there on the poop. It's Batman the Futler.
Batman?
No, not Batman. Fatman.
No, not Fatman, but your father.
You're my father?
I think so. Hand me that script, Mr. Danger.
Here, pal.
Give it to him. Oh, yes, that's it. Yes, according to this, it was better for my nefarious business interests that people presume I had been lost at sea and... Yes, that's right. I've been living with you all these years in my own mansion, disguised as your butler. I mean, despised as your hustler.
Oh, Father.
Well, I guess you can drop that stupid disguise now, Paterazzi.
Thank you. He's naked. Yes, the easier to give you your daily bath, my dear.
What?
Yes, come with me below. There's plenty of water there. Let me just get you out of your little state.
Hey, Slumber.
Oh, thank you. Are you going to do that funny thing with the sponge you always do?
This was like some kind of crazy dream. Wait a minute. Maybe Bradshaw had the right idea. Four holes in the hull. All I had to do was make the sound of a hammer with some corks just plugging them up. Let's see, that'd be kind of like a boom, 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 yeah. Boom! Yeah, it worked. Well, I guess I'd done it again. Done what again? Boy, I couldn't take much more of this. What did I have to show for any of this anyway? Another episode that just came out blank zero. Just a doomed dick with his dipstick on empty. I had nothing to show for nothing. A bunch of loonies in the hold giving each other baths, and a junk full of opium. What could you do with opium? It's only good for curing the pains of everyday life, I wonder how you steer one of these junks to Hollywood.
Yes, it was a wonderful trip. There I was, all alone. Just me. The boundless me, my small but dauntless craft, and me outbound provisions. A meager lot of biscuits I had, but 4 dozen packets rye vita, 15.5 pound packets of digestive biscuits, 15 packets of ginger nuts, 6 packets of dark chocolate digestive,
chocolate?
4 packets of cream crackers, 6 packets Kendall survival biscuits, Barmine, 3 screw top jars, one barrel of red beer,
a small loaf of bread,
3 pounds English fresh biscuits, 2 dozen tins of butter, 6 bottles of brandy, 3.5 pounds of cake, 1 Dundee cake, 3 pounds of cheddar cheese, 5 pounds of small Dutch midget cheese.
Almighty Grid, give us the filth to have strength and patience in the face of that which cannot be changed, and to change that which we must, and to recognize the difference between the two.
As you get off the wagon, please, will you tell your friend, that little sailor, to step up?
Oh, certainly. I think I can do
that. Thank you.
Hey, Clem.
What?
Clem.
What?
Hey, the little sailor's the last guy.
Oh.
And he's weird with a beard, man. Listen, I'm going to hitch up the horses. We'll be ready to go.
No, leave the horses in the wagon.
Yeah, it's all downhill from here.
Oh, look out. Here he is.
Ah! The bowls are clearing again. The right one is the sun, and the left one is the moon. Put what you want between them, and your future begins. Aha. I see you are a sailor.
Decided on your mode of transportation yet? Then come on down to Ralph Spoil Sports Used Zeppelin Dealership, where we're always up and we'll never bring you down.